The top of the almond has to do with more of the spacing out of the different vegetation. So we're going to start with the Mishnah on 86a. Yeah.
This whole long discussion of Kalayim has absolutely nothing to do with Shabbos.
Yes, yeah. And this next discussion is going to have nothing to do with Shabbos also. It's going to have... All these apparently are all looped together with the fact that they have loose connections to Psukim. So I don't know when the Gemara chooses to go on tangents based on that, but here it's definitely in the middle of one. Basically saying anything that's in a smachta we're going to talk about now. So that's what we're in the middle of.
Baby after three days after circumcision does tie the Shabbos.
Yeah, there are loose connections to Shabbos, and as we'll see, the same thing in the Gemara just now also is going to come back to Shabbos, but in a roundabout way too. So we'll see how that happens. I'm going to mute everyone. If you want to unmute, for some reason Zoom doesn't let you unmute anymore, unmute other people anymore, so you have to unmute yourself. There we go. Okay, we are at the top of 86A. Unbelievable, that's been 85 days. 85 days already of Shabbos. But Baruch Hashem, we're at 86A. We have some famous, famous Shabbos Gemaras coming up. Famous, famous Matan Torah Gemaras coming up today, tomorrow, and the next day. So apropos for Shavuos, although it's a little Chazara, I guess, being after Shavuos for Yisru Chag. But first, we have to start in an unexpected way. And that is, the Mishnah tells us, Minayin lepoletes shechva zara b'yom hashlishi tetzmeah. How do we know that a woman who excretes semen from her body, meaning either because she had relations with somebody or somehow it got into her body and it comes out of her body, that it's still tamea, that semen is still considered tamea? It's not considered sort of just like insignificant liquid, right? So it's still significant in terms of giving over tuma. Shnemar hayu necholanim l'shloshes yamim. Because the pasuk by Matan Torah, when the Jewish people get to Har Sinai, so Moshe Rabbeinu says to the Jewish people from Hashem, be ready, prepare yourself for 3 days. This is exactly what we did last week on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, the Shloshes Yimei Hagbala, right? The 3 days of preparing ourselves for Matan Torah. So here the Gemara says, based on this pasuk, Hayu Necholim L'Shloshes Yamim, you have to be get ready for 3 days, and it says in the pasuk that you should or something like that you shouldn't be close to your wives, which is the impression is that you have to wait for the semen to be insignificant or made into tahor if you want to see it. And the Gemara is going to say so that they would go to the mikvah right before Matan Torah and they'd be completely tahora when they get the Torah. Okay, fine. So the Gemara says we get it from that pasuk. So minayim shemarchitzen samil beyom harshlishi shechalios b'Shabbos. How do you know that you can still bathe a baby in warm water on Shabbos if it's the third day since he or she was born? So the Gemara says shenamar v'hiv yom harshlishi b'yos ko'avim. It was the third day and they were still in pain. What is that from? That's from, is that from Shechem? Yeah, when the story with Shimon and Levi and Dina, so the whole city had to become getting bris milas, and then I don't know bris mila but milas, and that's when they came and they attacked them. On the third day, they were still hurting, meaning that even a child. It's interesting because this implies. Well, either way, yeah. So it's 3 days since the bris mila. We also have that from Avram Avinu, but that's based on a midrash. This is based on a pasuk. Either way, so the Gemara says that the third day after bris mila is still painful enough that we'd allow you to warm up water, or at least to use warm water. The Gemara talks about it later in Shabbos about what exactly this means, what you're allowed to do. So that would be enough based on this pasuk. You'd be allowed to warm up water or use warm water later on the third day since the bris mila. Okay. So then the Gemara says, "Minayin shekosher lashon al zehoris b'rosh sa'ir hamishalach." How do we know you have to tie a what is this? A red string or something? You have to tie a scarlet strip of wool to the head of the scapegoat, which is for Azazel, right? On Yom Kippur, the two seirim that you put one to Azazel and one to Hashem. So we tie it because the pasuk says in Yeshayahu, "Imiyu chataychem kashani kashanim kasheli yalbinu." That if your sins are I assume this means like wool also. Sins be like scarlet, they will become like white like snow. Okay? How do you know that lathering yourself is the same as drinking on Yom Kippur? For this one it says, even though we don't have a solid proof, we still have a mention that it went in like water and like oil into his bones. Okay, water in your body, oil onto your bones. So it's sort of like an equation between the lathering and the ingesting of liquids. Okay, fine. So now the Gemara is going to get into some interesting conversation about semen coming out of women's bodies based on whose semen it is, based on what kind of woman it is. It's going to get a little bit peculiar, to say the least, and we'll take it from there into Matan Torah. The Gemara says, "Reshit lo k'Rabbi Elazar Rebbe Nazaria, v'Rebbe Sefer k'Rabbi Elazar Rebbe Nazaria." The beginning of the Mishnah implies that Rabbi Elazar Rebbe Nazaria would say, the end of the Mishnah is clearly Rabbi Elazar Rebbe Nazaria, but the beginning of the Mishnah doesn't sound like Rabbi Elazar Rebbe Nazaria. How do you know? Dik Rabbi Elazar Rebbe Nazaria tahor shman alei. He would say, Rabbi Elazar Rebbe Nazaria would say that on the third day, any semen that comes out of a woman is already going to be tahora. About the end of the Mishnah, which says, "What's the end of the Mishnah by the bris that you're allowed to use warm water?" That is according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. A whole parak based on that, the sheet of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, I think, if I'm not mistaken. Either way, so Gemara says, "Mandla Moki Ketanai Tana Resha Tahora." Someone who is inclined to say that the Mishnah doesn't bring up Machlokas Tanayim when you don't have to. You don't have to bring up Machlokas Tanayim when it's not unnecessary. So the Gemara, so that person might have a different text in this Mishnah that says that the Reisha means the Reisha's words is Tahora, not Tamea, in order for it to be consistent within Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah's Shita. Umelko Lechulka Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, then the whole thing is going according to him. Umandamoki Tanayinson, those who say that the Mishnah, if it's even if it's unnecessary, could still be talking about Machlokas. So then they would say, Reisha Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah, Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah, that the beginning of the Mishnah is going according to the Rabbanan, which we'll see in a second, and the end is going according to Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah. So Tan Rabbanan. So what is this thing that we're talking about? Polata Shechvazer Biyom HaShlishi Tahora. Divrei Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah, if a woman excretes semen from her body on the third day, so that semen is already Tahora according to Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah. Rebbe Yishmael Omer, Pamim Shein Arba Onos, Pamim Shein Chomesh Onos, Pamim Shein Shesh Onos. There are some times where you have to wait four time periods, sometimes five time periods, and sometimes six time periods. What does that mean? A day or a night is a time period. This is very relevant for the halachos of Nida, although practically when we make our calculations, it's not so relevant. This is the basis for a lot of the halachos of Nida, not a lot of the halachos of Nida, but the different waiting periods for when a woman starts to bleed, how long do you have to wait before you count your Shiva Nakiyim, is somewhat based on this Gemara. So the Gemara then says, Rabbi Akiva Omer La'olam Chamesh. Rabbi Akiva says it always has to be six 12-hour periods, meaning onos, and ona is either day or night. So it has to be either 5 day and nights. It has to be 5 day and nights. V'imatsa miktas ona rishona. Nos l'miktas ona shishis. Basically, according to Rabbi Akiva, you always do exactly 5 onos. How exactly is an ona according to Rabbi Akiva? Presumably, it sounds like 12 hours, but it could be different than that, depending how you understand the Gemara. Either way. So the Gemara says, Amru Rabbanu Kamele Rabbi Rav Papa, V'amri La Rav Papa La Rava, Bishlam Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah K'Rabbanan. Maybe Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah holds like the Rabbanan De'amar B'chamsha Avod Prisha, Rabban Rabbi Yishmael K'Rabbi Yossi De'amar Arba Avod Prisha, El Rabbi Akiva K'man. So the Gemara is like this. When Moshe Rabbeinu comes to the Jewish people and says, to separate from your wives. So when did that happen? We know that the Jewish people got the Torah on Shabbos morning, okay? As if yesterday was Shavuos, right? Shabbos morning, that's when the Jewish people got the Torah. The question is, when did Moshe Rabbeinu tell them to separate from their wives? So according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, maybe he passes like the Rabbanan, on the fifth day of the week. The Rabbanan, I think, is a shita that comes later, that we'll see in the next daf. I think that's what it means when it says this here. Let me just see if Rashi mentions it. I don't remember. Bishlama, Plux to Rabbi Yossi, you're right. So the Rabbanan and the Rabbi Yossi are going to have a machlokas on the end of today's daf, I think, which we'll see on the Amud Beis. basically the 3 days of Hagbalah. What was it? So was it 3 full days or was it 3 dates? That there were 3, meaning it depends how you count. So basically, so the Gemara says here that according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, who holds that you need, what does he need? He needs 4 onos, I think. 4 onos. So then it could have been Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah passing like the Rabbanan that say that it happened on the Thursday, that Moshe Rabbeinu came to the Jewish people and said, separate from your wives on Thursday, and then Friday, and then Shabbos a little bit, and then they got the Torah on Shabbos. So that's 3 days, even though it's 2 and a bit. So that's how Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah could pass on like the Rabbanan, that it happened on a Thursday. Right? Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says you need 4 onos, day, night. So when Moshe Rabbeinu comes on Thursday morning, so let's just work through this. On Thursday morning, so you've got Thursday day, Thursday night, Friday day, and Friday night. And that's when they make the mikvah on Friday night. That's 4 onos. I think that's how it works. Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Yishmael, who holds it could be 4 or 5 or 6, so that also could be like the Rabbanan. It also could be like Rabbi Yossi. The Amar Ba'arba Avod Prisha, that it could be 6 because they started on a Wednesday, so you add another day night. But Rabbi Akiva, who thinks that it's always exactly 5. So if it's exactly 5, how can you make it so that there are 5 onos in between? Meaning, because Moshe Rabbeinu said something on a Thursday, they would have to wait until that same time it says something on a Wednesday, you have to wait for that exact time on Shabbos. Meaning it's not an even time, right? If Moshe is coming at the same time, I is right. Okay, hold on. Let me see for a second. Rabbi Kiva, El Rabbi Kiva to Amar Kol Hey Onos Temea Im Tiflo Keman. Okay, so it's Rashi. According to Rashi, it's really not about that. It's really about days. And according to Rabbi Kiva, you don't have days. You have an odd number. And if it's an odd number, that means it's not exactly days. So, right? Because Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, you have 4 onos is 2 days, and for Rabbi Yishmael, it's 4 or 6 could be 2 days or 3 days. So, what about Rabbi Kiva? So the Gemara says, "Olam Rabbi Yossi, Kedama Rav Ada Bar Hava Moshe Bashkama Allah Shkama Yared." That when Rav Ada is of the opinion that Moshe Rabbeinu only came up or went up at in the mornings. So if you only think these things in the mornings, so it says, but how do we know? Bashkama Allah Dechsev. Did I read that? I don't know. The Olam Rabbi Yossi, Kedama Rav Ada Bar Hava Moshe Bashkama Allah Bashkama Yared. He only went up in the mornings and came down in the mornings. And so that's how we know he only got up and he went in the morning to Har Sinai. He came down in the morning. So we have that passage that juxtaposes the up, the ascending and the descending. Okay. So now Gemara says, "Lam le lemer lehu v'ha'amar Rav Huna yistra kedoshim hein ve'en mash shamshin ritosim b'yom." So if you're going to say, according to Rabbi Akiva, that Moshe Rabbeinu came during the day of Wednesday to teach them that they should separate from their wives, so why does Moshe Rabbeinu have to say such a thing? We have a halacha, we have a chumra, that a person should not have marital relations during the daytime. So why would Moshe Rabbeinu have to come that morning to tell them that? So first of all, ha'amareva, im ha'yabayis afel, mutter, if it's a dark house, then it's okay to have marital relations. V'yamareva v'itimer of papa tamen chacham me'afel b'talis mutter. And similarly, a tamen chacham, whatever that means, is allowed to make it dark under a blanket, and therefore it would be okay to have relations that way too, even though it's during the day. So Gemara says, okay, fine, so you got rid of that problem, that maybe it still makes sense for those types of relations, that Moshe Rabbeinu had to say, you're not allowed to have relations during that day on that Wednesday. So Gemara says, wait a second, v'had tivula yom ninhu. But wait a second, when it comes to tumah, if you're going to tell me that the women are going to the mikvah on Friday night for kudshim, that means they're not allowed to eat anything from the kudshim until the next night, meaning until Motzei Shabbos, not Motzei Shabbos, I think until the sun goes down. It's shkia on Shabbos. So if that's the case, so then how are they able to accept the Torah yet? Because for kudshim purposes, you're not allowed to do anything until the sun goes down the next day after you've gone to the mikvah. So the Gemara says, "Abaye bar Avin, v'Rav Chanina bar Avin, damri tarabayo nitman Torah ditzvul hayom, litzvul yom." That the rules for giving the Torah are different than kudshim, basically. Usher, what are you doing? My son is climbing on my desk. Okay. So Yasim Marema Vakamra La Lahishmaisa. So Maremar said this. Amrale Ravina Maremar Nitna Kamar or Ruya Kamar. So you say Imamish was given to people who were Tvulyom, or it's befitting to be given. I did not understand this completely what this meant. Rashi says Ruili Nasan Lutvulayom, because Savri Hani Tanai Lohik Pita Torah al Tvulayom, to look see if Harav Shemesh El Inan Kachim, Hilcha Gimayam Amurim La Inan Prisha, Hus Kulios Kodam at Tvilo, Miolo Nimta Tvulayom, Lefisha Togmi Vodyom, below Poltu, Vimhei Poltos Yachsri Vyit Vulumi Shetachach Avalahutrukulakach. Basically, it means, are they befitting for the Torah to be given, or was it actually given to women who had emissions? So it says, Ru'uya Kamina, if they would have had emissions, so maybe they would have to go back to the mikvah. That's what it sounds like from Rashi, but I'm not exactly sure what this phrasing means. Either way, long story short, there's a machlokas about whether or not a woman who excretes the semen is going to be tamei on the third day. It's different shitas from four onos, which is 2 days, until Rabbi Ki, which is six onos, which is 3 days, or five onos, which is practically 3 days. Either way, that all factors into how you're going to understand when Moshe gave the Torah. Fine. I don't think we have to get into the nitty-gritty details of it, because it's really just trying to work all those shittas out. Why doesn't it say that the women should go into the mikvah on Benishma during Benishmashvos, and then they can get the Torah at night? So it says, Amar Yitzchak lo mirosh v'seset dibarti. Hashem didn't want to give the Torah in dark. He wanted to give the Torah in a revealed way, that everyone would feel that it was given, you know, to everybody. Here in the Svar, it says, God did not give the Torah under the cloak of night, but rather in the light of day. Fine. So he didn't want to give it at nighttime. So yeah, in a Hanam, they could have done that, but Hashem didn't want to give it at nighttime for a different reason. So that's why they didn't have the mikvah during Benish Pashos. Interesting. But either way. So why didn't they go early in the morning in the mikvah, and then they would get the Torah also in the morning? So Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Shlo Yehi Halalu Holchin L'Kabel Torah Halalu Holchin L'Tvila. He didn't want some women to be going towards Har Sinai, going to Shul, and other women going to the mikvah. That would be a sort of a, you know, I don't know what the problem is, but it wouldn't look nice. Some people are going that way, some people are going the other way. I think there are different mafarshim that understand it differently. What?
As far as the time of giving the Torah, though, it happened independently of everyone. In other words, some people went 12 hours earlier, they got it then. And the ones who went 12 hours later got it. It almost seems like it was given when you showed up.
The point of Moshe Rabbeinu telling people to separate, according to all opinions, was that so that everybody could go to the mikvah Friday night. The mikvah was packed on Friday night. All women went Friday night. Doesn't matter who you were.
So, but over here it's saying maybe they went in the morning, but then they'd be coming later than everyone else. That idea of coming later than everyone else to receive the Torah would make it seem like it's the recording starts for them 12 hours later almost.
I don't know. Some people were going earlier, some people were going later. It's not that they were going later or they were going earlier because they went to the mikvah at different times. It was because some people had to go to the mikvah, some people didn't. I don't know.
Right, but I'm saying like the beginning of the Torah was not, okay, we're going to start now, everyone should be here.
No, it is, but some people got there early, some people had to rush their way there right at the last minute. That's why I'm saying like, you know, Lahavdil, an infinite number of Havdalos, people go to football games at very different times. The football game starts at the same time. Some people go 6 hours early.
Okay.
right? Because they want to mess around and use their entire Sunday for football. And some people go right at the kickoff. Right,
that's what I, no, so that's good. That's what I was wondering. Is, yeah. Is it because of our excitement we have to be there as early as we can? And
yeah, I think that's what it meant.
To come 12 hours later, right. Before start time.
Yeah, more in line with that.
V'amar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba,
Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Zudiv Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Akiva, V'chacham Amar Shesh Ono Shlemos Binan. The Chacham say you need 6 full 12-hour periods. So Amar Rabbi Chisim Achol Shapirsha Min Ha'isha, Aval Pirsha Min Ha'ish Temeya Kozman Shilacha. Okay, so what does this mean? The machlokes that we talk about the excretion of semen, is only when it comes out of a woman. But how long does she have to wait? And how long is the waiting period going to be indicative of sort of real impurity semen? But now the Gemara says Rabbi Achabar, what is this? Rabbi Chia bar Rabbi Abba says from Rabbi Yochanan that if it comes out of a man, as long as that semen is still a liquid, so it's always going to be tameh. So Meisiv Rishay says, wait a second, v'chol beg v'chol or asher ye'alav shichva zera. So the pasuk says in Vayikra, I don't know where this is, General Tumah, I think the Pesukim is talking to General Tumah, maybe it's a Zav, I think it might be talking about a Zav. Either way, so Prala Shechva Zer Shisrucha, so it's coming to the exclude semen, which is sort of this insignificant. Srucha is, how do they translate Srucha?
Viable.
Foul?
Viable.
Oh, right. Well, the
that's what it's supposed to do.
Right, meaning viable versus non-viable. Right, can it create life still? So srucha here means that it's no longer able to create life, meaning it's insignificant in that way. So the Gemara says, "My lav shepirshim and aish." Doesn't that drasha imply that there's a certain stat? There's a certain time for even a male semen when it comes out of a man that would also make it. The same sort of thing where a woman, where it's insignificant after a certain time. So, love shavishim and isha. That pasuk, when it says that, is because the exclusion of semen which comes out of a woman. So that's not a problem. Okay. And Bayer of Papa. Now, I looked probably for a half an hour at commentaries to figure out how this is possible and what the situation is. I couldn't find anyone. So I would tell you to use your imagination, but I don't want you to. So just take this for what it's worth. Bayer of Papa, Rav Papa asks, Shechva zera shel Yisrael b'mei gaya mahu. What if the semen of a Jew came out of this, out of a woman who's a non-Jew? I don't know how it's possible. Yisrael didiga, so this is also a lot of things to really that are peculiar here. But either way, we'll just read the Gemara, and then you'll take it in the way that you want it. Yisrael didiga b'mitzvos chavil gufayhu. Goyim delo diigi b'mitzvos lo. Maybe when we have the halachos that the semen is still going to be giving off tumah after 3 days, according to some shitas, that's only because women who are Jewish are worried and are concerned over the fulfillment of mitzvos. And because they're concerned with the fulfillment of mitzvos, therefore their bodies are warm. And because their bodies are warm, because they're constantly so concerned and worried, so then that semen is always going to stay viable. Whereas a non-Jewish woman who's not worried about mitzvos, their body is not as warm and is not as active, not as concerned with mitzvos, and therefore maybe it's all part of the havamina. Maybe the semen is going to become insignificant and non-viable even earlier. Okay. I don't know what this means, so you can't ask me any medical questions on this. It doesn't make sense to me either. But either way, then the Gemara says, and here's another added complication to whatever we don't understand. Or maybe the non-Jewish woman has another thing that makes her body active, which is kaven de achlim shkatzim urmasim chavaglufayu. Maybe because non-Jewish women eat bugs, that means that their body is actually active and stays warm, and therefore the semen does stay viable. Okay, v'im tim silomar kaven de achlim shkatzim urmasim chavaglufayu. And if you're going to say that because non-Jewish women eat bugs, that their bodies do maintain this warmth and maintains this activity to the extent that the semen would be viable. So b'mei behema mahu, would you say the same thing for an animal? Isha hi de isle pruzor masercha. Do we say that because an animal has a corridor, or does not have a long corridor like a woman does, something to do with how long the connection to the womb is? So because an animal doesn't have, I don't know how it's possible the animal doesn't have that, but again, something I don't understand. So do we say that because the animal doesn't have that, so then it wouldn't be a problem for the semen to be excreted from the animal? Or maybe it doesn't make a difference. That because animals also eat bugs, that keeps their body warm, and that semen is still going to be significant. And therefore, we'd still be worried and consider it to be tame when the semen comes out of the animal's body also. How does any of this happen? What does any of it mean? I do not know. And in the end of the day, the Gemara says teku, so the Gemara doesn't know either. Okay. I don't know if anyone has any ha'aras. David, you wanna pitch in here?
Yeah. You know, this obviously only happens as a result of completely forbidden actions.
So that's what I was wondering. I don't know if it's true or not. We have Gemaras that talk about bath women being impregnated by going into a bath and the semen. I don't know if it's possible medically. Okay. I don't know if it's possible, yeah.
So somehow now the animal goes into the bath also. But anyway,
yeah.
So all that beyond, what do we really care? I mean, what, at the end, assuming that this somehow happens in a permitted manner, what do we care how long it's valuable? How long, what do we care?
For the sake of Tumah and Tahara, if someone would touch the semen after it was excreted, does that make them tame?
Someone would touch that particular semen after it was excreted.
Okay. Yes, we are talking the most unbelievably minute possibility of a situation. Somehow that semen got into an animal and then came out of the animal, and then a person happened to touch that semen after it had come out of the animal. Is that person still tame or not? And we'd have to figure out, when did the semen get into the animal? Was it within the last 3 days? And then we don't even know if it's a machlokas or not a machlokas. It's a question whether or not that would be still giving over tumah. I usually am I'm usually very supportive of whatever DC wants to put in his family chat. I would not recommend this one. This is not what I would choose for today's.
Are you kidding me? I'm already all paraphrased and ready to go.
Oh gosh, I don't know. And to seamlessly transition, the Gemara now says, what day was the Torah given on? The one opinion is that it was given on the 6th of Sivan, which was Thursday. Rabbi Yossi says it was given yesterday on the 7th of Sivan. I remember when I was in Yeshiva, it sounds, by the way, from the end of this Gemara, that we pass this the 7th of Sivan, even though we follow this, the 6th of Sivan based on Sefiras HaOmer. So some people say from this Gemara that we pass this the 7th of Sivan. So I remember when...
Which would justify our 2 days in Chutzlar.
Yeah, that's true. But even more so, I remember when I was in NYU, a group of my friends and I tried to stay up all night, not only on the 6th, but also the 7th. And the 10th guy gave up at 4:30 in the morning and ruined it for everyone. So we made it to 4:30 on the 7th night, and then we just all had to go back to sleep, which was terrible. It was just terrible all around. It was a bad night. Anyways. So that's because this Gemara, it's the 6th of Sivan and the 7th of Sivan. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav, Dekuli Yam, Rosh Chodesh, Asul Midbar Sinai. Everyone agrees they got the Midbar Sinai on Rosh Chodesh Sivan. Ksiv Hacha, Bayom Hazeba, Mirazir, Ksiv Hasa, Machorosh, Azal, Lechem Rosh Chodeshim, Drasha, Malahan Rosh Chodesh, Afkan Rosh Chodesh, Ulukuli Amma, Beshabbos, and the Torah Yisrael. And everyone agrees that Shabbos was the day that they got the Torah. The question was, what day was Rosh Chodesh? Both of those things happened. Zachor, both happened at the same sort of the essence of the day, which was Shabbos. Okay. Ki pligi, when did they disagree? Bekvidi yarcha, when did they make Rosh Chodesh? Rabbi Yossi said, Rabbechad b'shaba ikva yarcha. Rabbi Yossi said they made Shabbos on Sunday. Uvechad b'shaba lo amar luhublo mid. He didn't say anything mishum dechosha de orcha, because they were tired from their way, so they didn't say anything on Mondays. On on Sunday. Ubitre b'shaba amar lehu, and on the second day, on Monday, you have to follow the psukim here. I think this is in Yisrael, but you have to sort of juxtapose it with mishpatim, if I'm not mistaken. So the Gemara says, "Va'atem to you." So Moshe Rabbeinu says to them, from Hashem, "Va'atem to you, my machas kohanim v'goy kadosh." That's when on the Monday there, according to well, we haven't gotten to the machlokas yet, but according to that, they got it on Monday. Betlasa amar lehu mitzvah sagbala, on the third day, meaning on Tuesday. On Tuesday, he said to do hagbala barba avud prisha, and then on the fourth day they actually separated from their wives. Meaning on Wednesday they separated. V'rabbanan savri betrei b'sha, and therefore, that's Rabbi Elazar ben that's Rabbi Yossi Shita, that Wednesday was the beginning of the prisha. Thursday, Friday, that's 3 days, and then on Shabbos they got the Torah. V'rabbanan savri betrei b'shaba ikva yarcha, they got there on they made Rosh Chodesh on Monday. Betrei b'shaba lo amru lo b'lomidi mishum choshet archa, they didn't say anything on that Monday, that same day. But plus, amar v'atem tuli machmachas kohen v'gai kadosh. Barba amar luhu mitzvah segbal, on Wednesday they said, Moshe Rabbeinu says to separate. Becham sha'avad prisha, and on Thursday they actually did the separation. Okay, that's sort of setting the stage for the conversation that we're going to have tomorrow, which is how do you consider this pasuk or that pasuk, which seem to be indicative of one way or the other. Basically, we have machlokas all the way from the beginning of the daf today. Was the Torah given on the 6th or 7th? And based on the 6th or 7th, which was Shabbos, did they start their prisha, meaning the separation from their wives, on Wednesday or Thursday? This also has connections to if a woman excretes semen of a man. To what extent is that semen going to be tameh? Which is why we had that interesting tangent. We don't have any very strong halachas to come out of that either way. But interesting discussion nonetheless. Okay, so Mir Sashem will pick up tomorrow to understand what happened over Shavuos.